Actually, I just gave away what we're doing. This month downstairs, our kids have been learning. Let's pretend I didn't say that. This month downstairs, kids, you've been learning about something that starts with a C. Can you tell us all what it is? Conviction. That's right. So, good job. Give them a hand. They remember really well. So they've been downstairs, they've been learning about conviction. And, okay, Caleb, my app's not working, so you're on. And Caleb's back there, first time on Pro Presenter. Good job. Conviction means standing for what's right, even when others don't. Conviction means standing for what's right, even when others don't. So let's say that together. Ready? Conviction means standing for what's right, even when others don't. Let's do that one more time, just you.
Conviction means standing for what's right, even when
So I understand that you kids have learned a memory verse downstairs, and Robin's going to take us through that memory verse. Oh, that's right, up over there.
Okay, kids, you know this time has come for you to remember our memory verse. Don't worry, but we have some actions with it that are going to help parents and kids to follow along. So this is what I want to happen. You guys are going to have to stand with me because there's movements with this. So I'm so sorry, but just to stand again really quick, and we're going to throw up that memory verse right now. We're going to just throw the memory verse up there. Excellent. Now, can anybody here... Kids, do you think you could do it with me first? Do you guys remember the actions? Let's do these actions together, okay? It goes like this. One, two, three. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Awesome. That was good. Everyone did such a great job. Okay, so can we do this again? Do you think we can memorize it? All right, let's do this together. Ready? One, two, three. And as for you... Never
tired
of so great. All right, get rid of it. Let's get it out of there. Let's do it. Come on. Let's do it, everybody. You ready? 3, 2, 1, and oh my gosh, you guys all deserve gold stars. Each and every one of you, so good. Thank you so much for joining with us.
So we're talking about conviction and never tiring of doing what is good. We all want to stand up for what is right. Okay, everyone, you would always say when something's unfair in your life, right? Think of something that's happened maybe in school or at work, in your house, no matter what age you are, something that's been unfair. You want someone to stand up and say, no, no, that's wrong, or this needs to change, or something like that. We all want someone to stand up for us when something's wrong, and we all need to be taking a stand for something that is right. Conviction means standing up for what's right, even when others don't. And today we'll look at standing up for others, because that's a really important part of conviction. So Jonathan Frank is prepared to do this object lesson. No, he doesn't, but he's coming up anyway. We are going to find us one of the bigger things. Okay, mister, I need you to remove your shoes and socks and roll up your pants. And Tori can blindfold you up here. It's a surprise baptism, that's right. So when we stand for something, there's a lot of applesauce right here. When we stand for something, it's important not only to know what we are standing for, but it's important that what we stand up for is solid. I'll help you up here, dude. Okay, right here. Take your hand. All right, so now I'm going to have you stand in something, and you need to guess what it is. You can put the next slide up. Don't say anything. No one says anything. He has to guess, so go ahead, Caleb. All right, you have to, don't touch, you just, I'm going to put you in this, and you have to guess what you are standing in. Okay, ready? Okay, it's right in front of you. Okay, you just step, there's a little tub. Step both feet in there. Yeah, it's very cold. It was in the fridge. Okay, so I want you to guess what you're standing in, and it's not applesauce baby food. That would have been really good. No, you could get two more guesses.
Is it gelatin, like naturally derived gelatin?
Close enough. Why don't we tell them what it is?
Jello.
Jello. There you go. So, if all you had to stand on was Jello and no stage and no anything else, would that be a very firm footing for you? It would not be very, very stable. So, you can, it's mildly enjoyable, but not stable. Here's a towel. You can dry your feet off there. It's pure gelatin, and I really added not much water. So, there's a lot of Jello. You may be a while at that one over there. So, conviction means standing up for what's right, even when others don't. And we need to be taking a stand for others. But what you stand for is really, really important. So, if I wanted to have conviction about something, like let's say I might feel very strongly that everyone needs to put toothpaste on their hamburgers. Okay, so I could design a brochure. I could start a focus group, I could make t-shirts, I could have really catchy slogans, I could make a great video and post it on Facebook, I could get a whole bunch of likes, I could get funding, and I could really hype up this whole put toothpaste on your hamburger thing, because there's some health benefits I could make up, right? And I could convince people. But if I have a lot of conviction for that, how many people are going to want to stand behind that? Going to want to stand up and shout that from the mountaintops. Wear the t-shirt, join the group, fund my twisted little idea. Not many. You can have, thanks, let's give him a hand. Thanks, Jonathan. So you can have conviction, but you can have it about all the wrong things. We need to have conviction about something that's right. And when you're standing on God's truths, and you're standing in God's strength, you can stand up for what's right, especially when you're standing up for others. When you stand on God's truth and you stand in God's strength, you can stand up for what's right and stand up for others, because God is strengthening you to do that. You don't do it on your own. And this morning, we're going to look at a story from the Bible in Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel stands up for others. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, we enter this narrative, and I say narrative because it's not just a story, it's not just, you know, a cool little video or the Lego Bible or something like that. This actually happened. And so Daniel had to stand up for some people. Daniel was a servant to a king, and Daniel had three friends. We know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These four guys, along with most of their people, were carried into captivity. They were taken away by an enemy king. So even though Daniel was in service to the king, he wasn't serving his king. And so him and his three friends were put into service with this evil king named King Nebuchadnezzar. And in chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a terrifying dream. And so he calls into his court some wise men, some astrologers, some basically pagan witchcraft people who are going to call on the stars and all these evil spirits and things to tell them what the king had dreamed. And the king said, look, I want you guys to tell me what my dream meant. It disturbed him so much, he called in these people. He said, I need you to tell me what this dream means. Not only that, I want you to tell me my dream. And the wise men, the astrologers, these magicians, they said, no king has ever asked that of any person before, ever. How can you ask us to interpret a dream you've never even told us? So we have to tell you what you dream. That's not fair. And the king said, you're just stalling for time. If you can't tell me what my dream was and what it means, I'm going to kill all the wise men in all of Babylon, and I'm going to knock down their houses. And so he gathers together his guard and the chief guard. You can see it up there. His name was Arioch. Arioch was head over the king's guard, and he sends Arioch all throughout the land to find all the wise men. Now, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now they'd all had their names changed into these Babylonian names. They weren't even called their Jewish Israelite names anymore. They were considered wise men because they were young nobles. In Israel, they were of noble birth, and they were captured. So the king gathered up these people who had some sort of leadership and trained them to be his personal servants. And so they were considered part of the wise men, even though they didn't consult spirits or the stars or any of this crazy stuff. So eventually, Arioch gets to Daniel's dwelling, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are, where these three friends are. And Arioch says, you have to come with me. I'm gathering all the wise men together, and we're going to put you all to death, and we're going to knock your house down. And Daniel says, hold on. Can you tell me why this is happening? Like, what's going on? So Arioch tells him the whole story about the dream, and Daniel says, let me talk to the king. Let me talk to the king. How many other people asked to talk to the king? Any? How many? Zero. Nobody asked the king. Some of the wise men were brought in, I would assume some of the leaders, and they said, no, what you're asking is not fair. Daniel said, let me go talk to this king myself, because he realized there was an injustice there. There was no reason for that many people to die, for that many homes to get knocked down, just because a king had a disturbing dream and wanted others to tell him. So Daniel goes and meets with the king and says, listen, give me some more time, and I'll interpret your dream. Now, Daniel understood that it wasn't up to him to interpret the dream or find out what the dream was. He was standing on God's truth, the truth that you should take a stand for others. When you encounter injustice, when others are being treated poorly, doesn't matter their background, their race, who they are, their social standing, we're to stand up for that. And so Daniel stood on that, and he stood in the Lord's strength. And so he went back home, and he met with his three friends, and he said, we got to pray. This is a problem. We got to pray. I believe God will give us the answer. We got to pray. And that night, Daniel went to sleep. And he had a vision in his sleep. And God told him what? Told him the dream and the interpretation. And so Daniel went back to King Nebuchadnezzar. And although his life was in danger, and although others' lives were in danger, he stepped out in faith and he stood up for what was right. What did he show? Starts with C. Ebliction? What did he show? Conviction. That's right. He showed conviction. Here's what he said to the king. Daniel replied, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secret. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the future. Now, I will tell you your dream and the visions you saw as you lay in your bed. While your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. He who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen. And it's not, listen to this, this is what he's standing on. This is reason he's not standing on Jell-O. It's not just him trying to be a strong guy and I'll go in there with whatever army I can. No, he's standing on God's strength. He says, and it is not because I am wiser, better, more strong than anyone else. It's that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand what's in your heart. It's God who's answering this. I'm just standing for what's right, but what I'm standing on is God's strength, God's truth, God's message. And that's what happens when we have conviction. So Daniel goes in and he talks to King Nebuchadnezzar and he says, King, you had this vision, this dream of this big statue made of all these precious metals and some clay, and a rock came and knocked that down. I'll tell you what it means. You have a great kingdom, and you're a great king, and you can do whatever you want, just like when you commanded for all of these people to be killed. You can do whatever you want, but God has put you there, and there'll be other kingdoms behind you, but there is one kingdom and one king that is greater than all. And that rock that knocked the statue over grew and grew and grew and covered the whole earth so that we know that's God's kingdom because God's in control. So let me ask you this. Trivia time. What did Daniel say to Arioch? Remember, Arioch was the leader of the king's guard. A, don't kill the wise men. Take me to see the king. B, I'll tell the king his dream if he promises not to kill me. C, give me some money and I'll tell you the king about all his dreams. D, tell the king that he has a stinky face. All right, so let's just do this by way of hands. Who thinks D? Okay, I don't think the jello tainted you, but okay, C, give me some money and I'll tell the king about his dream. Who thinks C? Anyone say? B, I'll tell the king his dream if he promises not to kill me. A, okay, let's see. Sure enough, don't kill the wise men. Take me to see the king. Because our bottom line is this. When you stand up for what's right, you stand up for others. When you have conviction about a truth that God, any truth, in this case, in Daniel's case, the truth that he had conviction about was that God stands against injustice. When someone's treated unfairly, when someone's treated wrongly, when someone can't help themselves. And our memory verse, as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is right. In the New Testament, never tire of doing what is right. All the other wise men, everybody else was probably running for their lives, cowering in fear, not sure what to do, making excuses, doing anything. But Daniel had the conviction to say, this is wrong, and I will stand up. Later on, we see that his three friends do that too. And I think, I'm not sure if you kids have learned about that yet or if it's next week, but his three friends eventually do the same thing and stand up for what was right. And they say something along these lines. We're doing this because of God. And even if God doesn't save us or protect us, we're doing the right thing. There's four things that happened because Daniel had conviction. There's four things that happened in his life and others because he took a stand for what was right, even when others didn't, by standing up for someone else. Did he know all the wise men? Nope. I mean, he could protect his friends. He didn't know most of those people, but he stood up anyway. First thing that happened was that the wise men, including Daniel and his friends, their lives were spared. Second thing is that Daniel was given a high position. Now, God doesn't promise this. When you stand up for what's right, when you stand up for a truth of God and you take a stand against something wrong and you do it with a gentleness and humility and do it in the character and conviction of Jesus, you're not always protected and good things don't always happen. But in Daniel's case, it does. God will always bless you, but it might not work out the way you think. But in this case, Daniel received the highest position in the king's court. He got to serve right with the king, and the king elevated him above all others. His three friends, they became leaders in the province of Babylon. But the fourth and most important thing that happened was that King Nebuchadnezzar said, there is one true God. Now, when you stand up for what's right, the situation might not be fixed. You can't guarantee that. You need to rely upon God to do that. When you stand up for what's right, you might not receive money or position or something good. Sometimes you will get in more persecution. Sometimes God comes in and blesses and saves. But we know one thing will always happen. You will always be a representative of Jesus. And God will always be glorified when you stand up for others, when you stand up, when you have conviction to do that. Let me ask you this. Have you ever decided to put aside what you believe is right to get something you really wanted? Have you ever done that? Think about it. You ever, you know something's right, but you kind of, I know I've done that. And I've regretted it every time. Sometimes I tell little white lies. I stretch the truth so I don't get in trouble. Or I've stretched the truth so that, you know, people don't think bad things about me. Sometimes I know I should say something, should stand against an injustice, but it's just easier. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to cause problems. I don't want to hurt anyone. And I can make excuses in my mind why I shouldn't stand up and do what is right. How do you learn what is right? Well, God's word. You read in his Bible. You can learn it from other Christians as you take a situation to them. What did Daniel do? He met with the king. He said, give me more time. And then he went back to his friends and they all prayed together. So you pray together and you talk about it. This is the one thing that gets in the way of us standing up. Doesn't matter if you're a kid or adult. When there's something at work, something in your family, something in your neighborhood, something around you, something at school, something with your friends, in any given situation, this is one of the things that gets in the way of us standing up and doing what's right and standing up for others. Because sometimes there's something else we really want. Sometimes it's we want people to really like us, so we don't want to say bad things. Sometimes, you know, there's gain for us. But we need to take a stand for what God is asking us to do. When Daniel took a stand, the king believed. People were saved, and he was promoted. Let me ask you this. What are some ways we can stand up for what's right when others don't by standing up for others? What are some situations you could stand up for others? Shout them out. What do you think? Don't be shy. When someone's being teased, absolutely, that's great. Teased or bullied, by all means. Any other ways you can stand up for someone? Any thoughts? Come on, you're a smart bunch. Someone's being left out. Absolutely. I'll talk about that really quick. After church here, when we have coffee, if you look around and you see someone standing by themselves, kind of awkwardly, you know, not maybe putting chairs up, not knowing what to do, include them in your circle. Include them. So when someone's left out, when someone's teased, any other situations you can think of? And it's not just for kids, right? This is adult stuff too. Okay, any other situations? When someone doesn't have a voice, you become the voice. Absolutely. How many different things you get on your Facebook page every day of, you know, there's this problem and this problem and this problem. And usually it's all just white noise. Someone, I found a funny video, or I found this thing, or I found this. I'm really, really into this. And that next day they're not. There are people who don't have a voice. And sometimes God's going to ask you to stand up for those things. Bottom line is this. When you stand up for right, for what's right, you stand up for others. You're not standing on jello of your own strength or having conviction about toothpaste on a hamburger or anything else you could devise. When you have conviction, it needs to be about the right thing. That you stand on a truth of God, you stand in God's strength, and you stand up for what's right by standing up for others. Let's say this together. When you stand up for what's right, you stand up for others. Let's say that one more time. When you stand up for what's right, you stand up for others. Let's stand and pray this morning, and then we'll give some more instructions.